Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
That we finished up the hour, and I had a minute to think about it, I would come up with my favorite comedy movies of all time. Now, there's still more rom-coms, but I did come up with three. I feel badly because the people who were listening last hour are not going to get the payoff to the question, but I'm just going to start quickly and tell you that producer Dave asked me as a part of Ask Amy Anything. I couldn't even come up with one funny movie because that's what happens when you put me on the spot sometimes. So I told him he has to give me a heads up if it's one of those kind of questions. I do love Friends. It's my favorite comedy of all time. But when it comes to movies, Leap Year with Matthew Good and Amy Adams is hysterical. I love it so much. And then in addition to that, I love Notting Hill. If you guys haven't seen it, it's an older movie with Julia Roberts and Hugh Grant. But it's also good. It's sweet. So it's a comedy with a romantic element, but it is funny. Hugh Grant's a hoot. And then another Julia Roberts movie, this one with Richard Gere, and that was Runaway Bride. Though, of course, they were also together in Pretty Woman, but I don't think we qualify that as a comedy. So those are a few that I really like that are funny, but Leap Year, absolutely number one. Okay, I feel better now that I've got that off my chest. Thank you for sending your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Thank you for your kind words about the pictures that I posted on Tuesday. I went golfing and took one selfie. I feel weird taking a selfie on the golf course, but I did it anyway. And so I shared it with you and also some gorgeous pictures that I took while I was out there. I think I might have taken as many pictures as I did hit golf shots. I am such an autumn picture shill. I love them so much. The colors, the oranges. I'm constantly trying to capture the perfect photos, and I feel like I got some that are beautiful and that might make you smile this morning. So check it out on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and I also put them up on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's our toll-free line, and we look forward to connecting with you this hour and the rest of the week. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. The World Series started on Tuesday. I hope that you got sucked in. It was a really good game. It had every element that as a baseball fan, even if you're casual, that I think we can appreciate. It had a pitcher's duel for quite a while. So Tyler Glasnow and Clayton Kershaw. It was tight. Even after Cody Bellinger hit a two-run home run, you had an answering dinger from the Rays. And so it was tight going into the fifth inning. Some awesome displays of defense from both sides, including another catch over the top of what was a shorter wall, shorter fence, but Cody Bellinger flashing the leather again, and some masterful base running by Mookie Betts, who's not new to the World Series, but is new to the World Series with the Dodgers. And what a big element, that sounds weird, what a fantastic addition he is to the Dodgers, but also a unique element because there isn't anything that Mookie can't do on a baseball field. And we saw it all in the course of the last week. We saw it all with Mookie. He also had a couple of incredible catches to bring home runs back into the ballpark. We've seen the power when he's at the plate. He also creates major consternation for pitchers on the base paths. And so we just saw that on the field on Tuesday night, we get the best of Mookie. And for him to not only steal two bases, but then come home to score on what is a fielder's choice, so a ball that is hit in the infield, when he's a third of the way down the line and just creating fits for Tyler Glasnow and for the rest of the defense. And the defense is playing in, and he still beats the throw home. And so he's been kind of fun for me to watch. Because the Dodgers, while they've been in the World Series for three of the last 4 years, he is new in Dodger blue. And the smile, the celebrations, the joy that he plays with, I mean, he's worth the money that they're giving him, especially if they end up winning the World Series for the first time since 1988. You may or may not know this, but the winner of the World Series opener goes on to win the series 63% of the time. It's not an overwhelming majority, but it is a nice start, and you'd rather win than not win. But how many people out there would say Tyler Glasnow versus Clayton Kershaw in the postseason, even with a limited sample size for Tyler? He throws a fastball consistently 97, 98 miles per hour. He can turn hitters inside out. He's been a major weapon for the Rays. Their hitting hasn't been great in the postseason, but their starting pitching, that bullpen, they've been dynamic. And so to have Tyler Glasnow on the mound in game one, to me, I think a lot of people would have pointed to them as having the advantage. And maybe you're one of those people giving the Rays the advantage, at the very least, with starting pitching. Clayton Kershaw got the nod in large part because of the way the rotation played out. Well, in the starts, it wasn't just the rotation. Remember, they had spot starts in the NLCS. But he gets that nod in game number one because he only made one start in the championship series. And as much as I feel like he gets a bad rap for his postseason, people tend to focus on the negative as opposed to the games in which he's been amazing. A couple weeks ago, by the way, he had a career playoff high 13 strikeouts and went 8 scoreless innings. That's in the playoffs. But people don't want to remember those. They want to point to Clayton Kershaw as the best regular season pitcher ever for the Dodgers, the best lefty in the regular season. He's the best pitcher who's never won a World Series. As I was watching him last night, and I do root for Clayton, I really want him to get his ring because I think a lot of the noise fades into the background. Not to mention, there are certainly moments in the playoffs that he would like to have back. There are certainly moments where he feels like he's let his team down, but the hard work tends to change that. It doesn't necessarily erase your failures, but it makes the failures worth it. It's validation, it's vindication. And I would love that personally for Clayton Kershaw because I get so tired of hearing what people say about him. The Dodgers wouldn't have 8 consecutive NL West titles if not for Clayton Kershaw. He started 5 World Series games, including 3 openers. Do you know how many pitchers in Major League Baseball would give a whole lot of money or maybe a finger, maybe a digit to be in? Well, you can't pitch as well then, but maybe a digit on your other hand to be in the situation with Clayton. 36 playoff games, 10 series in his career. Oh, I'm sorry, 10 years, 20 series in his career. 29 starts, 183 and a third postseason innings. And his record is 12-12. You know what that reminds me of? Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning was royally criticized for his postseason record, his postseason stats. And yet he finished his career in Super Bowl 50 with a second ring and a 500 playoff record. But how many football players would take all of those opportunities on all of those starts? And I feel that way about Clayton Kershaw. Yes, there are moments he'd like to have back. That's indisputable, but you know what else is indisputable? That Peyton is funny. What else is indisputable is 201 postseason strikeouts, which is second most all time to Justin Verlander. And so there he was making that start in game one of the World Series, and I could almost hear the criticism in my brain. First inning, walks a guy, gives up a hit, has to get out of trouble. But once he settled into that groove, he was the regular season Clayton Kershaw.
Swinging a fly ball, left field. Peterson drifting in a step or two. He's underneath it, makes the catch, and a 1-2-3 inning for Kershaw, who settles down nicely in the second, He's retired five in a row. The 0-2 swung on and missed strike three. Six strikeouts for Kershaw through four. He's retired 11 straight. Swung on and missed strike three on a slider. Strikeout number seven for Kershaw, who is now retired 13 in a row. Now the 2-2 to Zunino. He strikes out swinging on a slider. That ends the inning. Eight strikeouts for Kershaw.
I was fortunate to make it through that first. You know, I was bouncing my slider like 48 feet and didn't quite make the adjustment until the second inning. So fortunate to make it through that. But, you know, really after the first, you know, felt pretty good with everything. And, just a great game all the way around for us.
He's also undefeated in his, I don't know if it's playoff career. It's probably playoff career. We'll limit it to that for now. No, it can't be playoff career. He's undefeated when he gets four runs of support or more. Huh. Shoot, why don't I write these things down when I hear them? When he gets at least four runs of support, like many top flight pitchers, he's undefeated in the playoffs. How could that be? Dave, help. Can you Google that and see if you can find the stat before I completely screw
it
up?
I'm on it.
Okay, thank you. Our crack research staff, because Dave's got nothing else to do. He's just hanging out back there behind the double pane glass. So I'll make sure I get that stat right. The Dodgers gave him plenty of support. They were 5-for-14 with runners in scoring position. And as I mentioned, Mookie Betts was making things happen on the base paths. In the fifth inning, he steals second, he steals third, and then on an infield grounder, he's already a third of the way down the line when the ball is hit, and he manages to slide underneath the tag at home plate. Check out my Twitter if you have not seen the field level angle, the camera angle. So it's like the pylon cam. If you haven't seen the dirt camera angle, it's got to be implanted in the dirt of Mookie sliding home and then his celebration. And you'll understand what I mean about the joy that Mookie brings to the field and the joy that he adds to the game. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So he ends up with a home run, with a couple of stolen bases, with that run scored that set off essentially a chain reaction in the fifth inning. And then there were the questions for Rays manager Kevin Cash. Why leave Tyler Glasnow out there for a season-high 112 pitches when he had labored, not that he wasn't effective. He had eight strikeouts as well, but he had labored. He ultimately gives up six runs. Why not go to your bullpen? And so Kevin Cash determines to leave him out there, even as the heart of the lineup, and it is a stacked lineup for the Dodgers, is coming up, and Glasnow doesn't have his best stuff.
Felt like he was the best guy to get a strikeout. We needed a strikeout after we weren't able to hold the runners. Mookie at second base when it got to second and third, and felt like Glas still with the, you know, with his stuff, was equipped to get a strikeout. Ended up getting a ground ball. Yandy made a great play, but Mookie, just a tremendous jump.
Later in the game, I wasn't really able to throw anything for a strike other than a heater. I think the changeup, I probably should have thrown that a bit more. I think that felt a little bit better today. Mix it in a bit earlier. But then that curveball later on, just I didn't have much feel for it. So I think a lot of times when I fall behind and guys kind of know I'm only throwing one pitch for strikes, it gets a little easier. So I just think the execution was just not there today.
Glasnow with the honesty, but Kevin Cash still hoping that he could get a strikeout from his best strikeout pitcher. It's after hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. There are good storylines, good hooks on both sides for the Rays to pick up their first World Series victory in franchise history would be awesome. And I do not buy into this argument that there are no Rays fans. I know you're out there. We got the pulse on our audience here. And I know we got a finger on the pulse of our audience. Missed a piece of that. And I know that there are Rays fans all over the place. And so I believe that there are a lot of you who are rooting for the Rays and also rooting against the Dodgers. The Dodgers are a blue blood. They've been around, even though they haven't won a World Series since 88. People will point to their inflated payroll, the superstars. But I would remind you, a bunch of their stars are homegrown. I mean, a lot of their guys aren't players that they pilfered from other teams or that they signed to huge, massive free agent deals when they became available. They traded for Mookie Betts, of course, and got him for a relative steal, but that's also on the Red Sox. And a lot of their guys are guys that have come up through their farm system. And so this was the perfect prototype for the Dodgers. A little bit of everything, from small ball to home runs, from pitching to defense, taking the pressure off the bullpen, which is the Achilles heel for the Dodgers. They've got the win in the opener. And everybody after the game raving about Mookie Betts and what he adds to the equation.
Yeah, Mookie's pretty special. I mean, he just, you know, he does things on baseball field that not many people can do. And he does it very consistently, which I think separates him from a lot of guys.
It's great, and that's just another element that Mookie brings. You know, he does a lot of studying, and to be able to create stress, and whether it's stealing a base or just being on base, to make the pitcher speed up or not execute a pitch. He creates tension, and he's just a heck of a ball player.
Dave Roberts, Clayton Kershaw, the Dodgers, three wins away from their first World Series victory since 1988. And yes, Clayton is now dead even in his postseason career. He's had the highest of highs. He's had the lowest. Well, he hasn't quite had the highest of highs. He's had some highs. He would like the highest of highs and reaching the promised land, but definitely add this World Series win to his resume in the positive. He's now 2-1, by the way, in the postseason with two pretty special starts. 855-212-4227. Rob Manfred is going to keep at least one of the gimmicks that we've seen in 2020. Yikes. I don't know how I feel about it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Not discouraging, disappointing. Yeah, you know, we bounce right back like we've done multiple times this year, and look to find a way to win a game tomorrow. We got Blake on the mound, which is very, very encouraging. So we'll be good.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Disappointing, not discouraging. The words of Rays manager Kevin Cash after their opening loss in the World Series, 8-3, the final. But really, the fifth and sixth innings is when the Dodgers did the majority of their damage. And we found the stat about Clayton Kershaw. I'm glad, because I wanted to clarify and make sure I got it right. In his career, he has never lost regular season or postseason when the team offers at least four runs of support. And so they were using it over and over on the Dodgers radio network. And then as I started to say it, I thought, oh, wait a minute. Okay. I want to make sure that I clarify. So Dave looked it up. In his entire career, he's never lost when he's had at least four runs of support, and that trend holding true on Tuesday night. Six innings pitched, a single run on a solo home run, two hits overall, eight strikeouts, and then the Dodgers provided plenty of run support. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Mentioned Rob Manfred, and this is interesting to me because I am hoping, or I was hoping, I guess, maybe I should see those hopes dwindle, let go of those hopes. I was hoping that some of the gimmicks that we've seen in Major League Baseball in 2020 would fade away once we got back to quote-unquote normal season. But Rob Manfred, doing his State of the State address about baseball, told MLB Network and others that we actually might see that runner on second base in extra innings.
I think the one that has the most appeal across the industry is probably the extra inning rule. There's a lot of strategy associated with it. For fans, they know when they got to get focused on the end of the game. And for players, you know, it kind of limits the outside of that extra inning envelope.
Wait, so you don't focus on the game when it's extra innings with no cheap runner at second base? I don't really get what he's saying. And I don't know what he's talking about in the industry. Like, where's the industry support coming from? TV networks? Because they think it's more exciting? Is it owners? I have no idea. I haven't heard from very many people. I've heard from a few fans that think it's interesting. If you're talking about speeding up pace of play, that's out the window once you get to extra innings anyway. So I feel like fans who've already made the investment, they're probably in it for the long haul. I don't get it. And it feels cheap to me. It feels like a gimmick. They've worked so hard to get to extra innings, and now you're just going to put this runner on second base that wasn't earned, this runner in scoring position. but it sounds like it could be around to stay beyond 2020. And what about the expanded postseason that we saw with the wild card series being added?
I think the second one, the expanded playoffs, not 16 teams, but something beyond the 10 that we've been doing, I think generated a ton of excitement that week where there was just baseball everywhere. It was fantastic for the sport.
So Rob Manfred, commissioner of Major League Baseball, sounds like he's in a really good mood. And I would say that baseball deserves high marks, as does the NBA and the NHL. And I'm going to say this about every single sport that manages to either return or start and finish in the course of 2020. It's atypical. It's unconventional. Sometimes it's flat out complicated and convoluted. But the number of ways that they had to twist, the number of ways that they had to pivot, the number of ways that they had to adjust on the fly, especially in baseball. Now, I do believe the season deserves an asterisk, not a negative connotation. So please don't take me the wrong way. Yes, the World Series winner is legit. Yes, all of these playoff series, they are what we would typically get in a regular season, even if it only had 60 games, if it only had 40 games. I mean, once they got to the playoffs, they're in the playoffs and nothing has changed in the postseason other than those extra wild card games. But I do believe that because of all of the ways they had to adjust, the seven innings, the double headers, the runner on second base and extras, the fact that they didn't play a regular schedule. They played isolated in kind of their geography and in their own division. So you didn't match up against the best of the best in the other leagues or in, you know, the other parts of the country, other regions. So all the different ways that they had to jam this season in, for that reason, I believe it deserves an asterisk. Although, even if you don't put that asterisk next to 2020, we're never going to forget what this year was like, ever. So the fewer number of games, I mean, come on, the postseason is, for these teams that are still alive, is about half as long as the regular season. And so just all the ways that it didn't fit their typical format, but I still believe the champion is the champion, period. End of sentence. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, and it's sponsored by Geico. Do you want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance if you'd switched to Geico when I nagged you about it months ago. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. Let's talk to Gary, who's in California. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Andy.
Hey.
I was calling, first of all, I enjoy your show. I've told you that before. But I have three quick radical ideas about baseball and how to maybe change it. The first one would be, if they go into extra innings, just stop the game at the end of 12 innings and say it's a tie and have them have ties and records.
I hate ties. In professional sports,
you're
paid to play a game. There should be a winner. But anyway, I digress. Go.
The other two ones, I had thought, and this is going to be a little more radical. If they perform a hit and run, or if they perform, I can't remember what the other one was, but they both move. Oh, if they bunt and move a runner over, if that runner scores, they get to score a point or a half a point for that.
I feel like I should get half a stroke in golf when I roll the putt to within 2 inches and it doesn't go that extra rotation. So, you know, I might be in favor of half a run.
Well, if they got two of them, at least we could have more hit and runs and have more bunting. And then I just wanted to let you know, I heard on the radio, Tua was saying that he's been getting fantastic mentoring from Fitzmagic, and he couldn't ask more, that every time Magic comes off the field, he's telling him exactly what he did right and exactly what he did wrong. And he's taught him a whole lot of stuff since he's been there.
Yes.
So he's feeling pretty confident that he can run this thing.
Well, and that's Tua. He's classy. He's humble. And he is a guy that is going to do everything he can to maintain the team and the team aspect of the quarterback room. He's been the guy who's taken over and seen another quarterback bench like he will in Miami. But he's also been on the other end of it where he's lost his job, you know, kind of banged up in the SEC championship a couple years ago. And so he's supported Jalen Hurts. He did all through, you know, what was the back and forth at Alabama. And of course, he's going to say the same thing about Fitzpatrick. And I have no doubt that is the truth, that's one of the reasons why Fitzpatrick is beloved and why he's a great leader. That's why guys love playing with him, is because he invests and because he cares so much and because he's got so much wisdom and experience. And let's be honest, because he flies around like a bat out of hell, but you know that too. So I agree with you on that, Gary. I don't agree with you on your other points, but I appreciate you making them.
I didn't think it would, but it was just a shot in the dark.
All right. Thanks so much for listening, Gary.
I knew you didn't like ties, but I just said
You know, right. You know me well. Thank you. Thanks for the phone call. Doug in Pittsburgh, we'll try to get to you coming up after we take our quick break here. Thanks so much for all of your tweets, A-Law Radio. There's lots of you on our Facebook page as well. I don't even know how Facebook maintains the traffic that it does overnight. I feel like they should be shut down for maintenance, and yet we keep them, well, they might be censoring us too. We keep them afloat overnight. You guys are blowing it up as always.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 minute to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Touchdown. Hey, the guy missed. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown. Feathers melting into the end zone. Touchdown.
The people have spoken, and one score stands above the rest. Here is your TD of the week. The Tennessee Titans.
Tannehill is wide to the left. Henry is in the gun.
Okay.
It's the King Cat. Henry running to the left, into the end zone. Touchdown, Titans! Yo! Titans win 42-36.
Derek is special. I've said it time and time again. I saw it from afar before I came up to Tennessee, just him making extremely good plays. And people don't realize the speed that he has being as big as he is.
Ryan Tannehill. About one Derrick Henry, backfield mates, and boy, are they great compliments to one another. Tannehill is efficient. He's accurate. We know he's a solid game manager. He's confident. But they use the run to set up the pass. And we saw it in droves on Sunday as they go into overtime against the Texans. The Titans end up remaining perfect with the King Cat. And I tell you my favorite part of that whole highlight, and this is your choice for TD of the week. Thank you for voting. My favorite part of that whole highlight with Mike Keith is that you hear, is it Dave McGinnis? When Keith sets up the play and says, they're in the King Cat, and McGinnis just out loud commenting, okay. Like he's anticipating. Can we hear it again? Whatever you want, Dave. You just take your time. I know you're extremely busy in there. So thank you for voting in all of our polls. They originate with our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. I've been trying to go back and answer some of your questions on our Facebook page and also on Twitter. I'm sorry I can't answer them all, but that leaves some mystery and some fun in it, right? For next week, next hump show, next edition of Ask Amy Anything. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, 855-212-4227. For CBS, World Series Game 2 coming up tonight, Wednesday. And I think baseball's brilliant in putting the first two games of the World Series on a Tuesday to Wednesday opposite football. And then they're taking Thursday off. So this is kind of nice. It's a luxury for the teams to be able to line up their pitchers, maybe give their bullpens a break a little bit. They've kind of gone straight through here since the wild card series. Remember, none of the teams had a bye, not even these top two seeds in the American League and the National League. And so just a couple of days off, if they get through a game 5 and they still need 6 and 7, there'll be another day off. Like their typical schedule, though they are not traveling.
Henry is in the gun.
Okay.
Okay. Mike Keith and company on the Titans radio network. Something else that I thought was funny, Dave, and this might be an interesting topic. We're not going to do it right now because we don't have time. But just saw this post on our Facebook page. All kinds of intriguing questions asked on our Facebook page. I do believe this season deserves an asterisk. So there was a listener responding to that. Okay, you said this season deserves an asterisk because it's so different from all the others. But whenever we crown a champion, whether Dodgers or Rays, is this World Series title more legitimate than 2017? That is a loaded question, eh?
I like that question.
Why didn't we? Can we steal it? No, no, no. I never do that, dude. I do not steal other people's questions or ideas. I refuse to do that. But that is really interesting. And so maybe if we decide to float that question out there, we'll use that post on our Facebook page. As I say, you guys are super creative. All right, let's see. News from the football world, and then Doug, I'm going to get to your phone call here. Tua Tagovailoa is taking over as the starting quarterback for the Dolphins. This one surprised me, not because I don't think Tua can handle the NFL rigors. He's clearly healthy. The fan base obviously wants to see him. They showered him with this standing ovation, lots of roars when he came on the field. In fact, we played the highlight earlier from CBS, and you can really hear the crowds in South Florida just rise up to welcome Tua in his NFL debut, even though it was 2 minutes of garbage time. What surprises me is that it wasn't even 2 weeks ago when Brian Flores was balking at questions about a starting quarterback. And now they've won two consecutive games with Fitzpatrick as the starter. And get this, by a combined 50 points. I get the Jets. I got you. But how about the Niners? That was on the road. I mean, this team plays with life and energy. And I've said this for years and years. If you're trying to tank, Fitzpatrick is the wrong quarterback to bring on board. I don't think that's the case with the Dolphins. They've got their QB. They're good. But I'm a little surprised that they choose this moment. Other than they saw the reaction that Tua got, and sometimes cheers move ownership to it. And so maybe ownership and front office, they kind of have a conversation with Brian Flores. We knew at some point we were going to see Tua. It's just, it's maybe also the fact that they have a bye week, and so we can have a couple more weeks to get ready and be prepared. But he was trained at Alabama. This young man, he's already prepared for the pressures. It's just, it's the NFL, and nobody's going to stop and say, hey, welcome to the league, rookie. I mean, they're about to kill you if they can, metaphorically speaking, of course. And so maybe it's the bye week. Maybe it's the fact that they did get a taste of how excited the fan base will be. But the fact that Brian Flores just said it 2 weeks ago, that they weren't even having the discussion right now, that this was about trying to win, and they're second place in the AFC East. They're 3-3. And while they may not beat the Bills or the Patriots, whoever else, the fact is they could very well challenge for a playoff spot. I believe they will if they continue to play at this high level, because they are, you know, in that place in the AFC where a lot of teams are, that you could be gunning for those extra wild cards. We have expanded playoffs this year. So that's one piece of news. The other that just lights me up, I'm telling you, this makes me so angry. And I already ranted and raved about it earlier. I wrote my CBS Sports Minute about it. Losing exposes the character of athletes, and it also exposes the makeup of teams. When a team has weak leadership, when a team is not filled with character guys, very often losing leads to cracks in the dam. Or as I said earlier, leaky raft. Your raft is leaking. It's got holes and it's taken on water. We've had anonymous sources. Anonymous, please make me roll my eyes. We've had anonymous sources come out and criticize the Cowboys coaching staff now. According to Jane Slater of NFL Network, who's very connected with the Cowboys, this is her beat, this is what she does. Multiple Cowboys have complained to her about the coaching staff, saying, and I quote, they are totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. Here's another one from Jane. Quote, they just aren't good at their jobs. Now, I'm going to make a bet that I will never be able to settle, that these same anonymous sources did not go to their coaching staff and offer constructive criticism. This is selfish and it's cowardly and it's also divisive, and it undermines what your team is trying to do. It's thinking about you and not thinking about the awkward position you've put both your coach and your teammates in, who now have to answer questions about your anonymous quotes. Also, why are you anonymous? Why? No one will ever answer that question, except we already know the answer. Because you're afraid to put your name on it. because it's just like social media. The things that people will say and do when they believe there's no accountability and they can remain anonymous, they lose all sense of professionalism or decorum or respect or professionalism. When we think we can be anonymous, how often do we turn into other people? The ugly comes out. And so, true to form, once this news breaks and once Jane puts it on her Twitter, guess what happens? The media goes trotting to Mike McCarthy and asking him to comment on the fact that he's got players who are speaking publicly about the coaching staff.
I've always stated this to every team that I've coached. I think it's important to handle things as men. I mean, if you do have something to say publicly that is of most importance, I think it's important to say it to the individual, particularly in a group dynamic.
If Mike McCarthy's not going to bench Ezekiel Elliott for more fumbles that have put his team in tough positions, then he's probably not going to bench you either. If you go to him and say, hey, coach, I have a suggestion, or hey, coach, this would help me. How about phrase it like that? It would help me do my job better if you guys could maybe make some adjustments, if we could figure out a new system, if maybe you're a little more prepared. I'm going to also go out on a limb and say, I'll bet these players did not go to the coaching staff first. This is so frustrating to me. But this is what happens when teams lose. If they don't have character guys, that discontent, that frustration bleeds out. It's just so like us as humans a lot of times. We don't want to be accountable. We don't want to take responsibility for our own screw-ups. It's easier to point the finger at somebody else. Yeah, because it's Mike McCarthy's fault that the defense is breaking down. The defense is not doing its job. If every single one of those Cowboys in the locker room remain accountable to his job and his role, they wouldn't be 2-4, and they wouldn't be frustrated, and they wouldn't suck as much as they have to this point. And it obviously hurts that they don't have Dak, and everybody can see that. This is not helping. It's selfish, and it drives me batty. I'm hoping that other veterans in the locker room will put the kibosh on this. Maybe somebody knows who's complained. Maybe they've complained to other people too, guys next to them in the locker room. So maybe some of the veterans, some of the experienced guys will say, knock it off. That doesn't help. Do your job. Then you can complain about somebody else's job. I'm not saying the coaching staff is perfect, but is there anybody on that team who is? Nope. Negative, Ghost Rider. Okay. Doug is in Pittsburgh. We're going to totally change because I don't think Doug wants to talk about the Cowboys. Hi, Doug.
You feel better now?
I feel like it needed to be said. Once I leave the studio, I'm good. And I don't take it home with me.
All right. Well, I have a feature of this year's baseball season that I would like to see carried forward. Now, it's not the DH in the National League.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, that's right. The Universal DH is another one.
No, but I would like, it's the absence of an All-Star game.
Oh.
I think the All-Star game has outlived its usefulness.
Interesting.
Mostly because of free agency.
Okay.
What it did was, it got rid of the league identity. Because for free agency, if you're All-Star caliber players, the team kept them because they could, right? So these players were career National Leaguers or career American Leaguers. And they went out there, and they played the game like they meant it, you know, because to them, they wanted to beat those guys in that other league, right? So now, heck, some of those guys in their league are in your league now, next year, you know, it's like, you know, there's no league identity. Players don't have a career association with a given league, right?
Okay.
So that was one thing. And interleague play, too, because it was, you only played those guys, you know, in All-Star game, unless you made it to the World Series. But interleague play, kind of that's gone away now, too.
Right.
Because the game's got kind of a joke. You know, they had some guy mic'd up in the outfield talking to the guys, you know, during the game. Nobody cares.
Except Bryce Harper. So here's why I like it. And I understand what you're saying, that if what you're looking for is a fierce rivalry, well, you're not getting it in the All-Star game. But guys don't take it that way. They go and they cheer for one another. They meet up with cronies. It's a nice honor. It's obviously a break for a lot of them to have their families with them on the field and to just kind of let loose, you know, to cut loose. Here's why I like it, though. none of the other All-Star games give us legit competition. And you're right, there are guys out there wearing microphones. But what we actually get are the best pitchers in the game facing the best hitters in the game. And there are no shortcuts, right? They still have to get the outs. Otherwise, they're never going to get off the field. And so I feel like we actually do get legitimate matchups in the All-Star game for baseball. So I like it. It's one of the things that I enjoy. I do not, in fact, I forget the Pro Bowl got canceled this year. But I forget that the Pro Bowl is even taking place when it does. I don't enjoy the NBA All-Star game, the NHL, they've kind of tweaked it a little bit. I like baseball because it closely resembles an actual game in terms of the matchups. But I understand what you're saying. I just don't think it's supposed to be a fierce rivalry.
Well, yeah. I guess I'm thinking, yeah, because it used to be, you know. And they played hard, you know.
Yeah. No, it's different. You're right. Free agency's changed it because these guys are all buddies. Many of them, not all of them. I'm going to say that the Astros are going to be left alone at the next All-Star game. Nobody's going to want to hang out with them. But I think that for now, it's more like a big party and a gathering. But at least they do play actual baseball, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right.
Sort of.
Cool, Doug. Well, thanks so much for listening. It's good to have you with us.
Okay, take care.
855-212-4227. That's always our toll-free line. And you know, we are just a couple days away from week 7 kicking off in the NFL. It's nutso. It's a lot of things nutso about 2020. It's an NFL and CBS doubleheader Sunday, and the early games pit two of the AFC's best going toe-to-toe. We had to wait till week 7 for this game, but the Steelers against the Titans, Big Ben, Ryan Tannehill, and then later on, most of you will see if the 49ers can continue to put some wins together against the Patriots, who are below 500 for the first time at this point in the season since 01. Others get the Chiefs and the Broncos. NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. The NFL on CBS. We'll talk to you tonight. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.